You are listening to the Stetson Students Podcast, where we post all of the series and messages from our student ministry. We are a ministry connected to Stetson Baptist Church, where we are for DeLand and for Jesus. If you would like to learn anything more about our ministries, please check out our social medias or go to StetsonBaptistChurch.org.
Thanksgiving is over. Christmas is here. Because of that, I have some Christmas questions for you. I want to know, what is the best gift that you have ever received? What is the best gift you've ever received? Okay, goodness, coming at it. All right, Jackson? Your baby brother for Christmas? Oh, this is the best gift. Yeah, that's good. Michael? A four-wheeler, you got it? Like, okay. Is it more your sister's or more yours? Half and half? All right, dual custody. Nice. Colin? Really fast? How fast are we talking? Looks it, brother. 200 miles an hour. I love it. Connor? Huh? A bow and arrow? Are you any good? Should I fear for my life? Okay, cool. Yes. Colin, I think you should fear for your life is what it really is. Paige?
My favorite food.
Which is? Still don't know what that is. Penderwix? The Penderwix. Penderwix. I'll look it up tonight. I won't, but Eden? A katana? Okay, some of those answers are just scary. Bow and arrow and katana are part of our answers. Eli? Huh? A cruise... Golly, Eli. A cruise ship tickets. All right. Will and the Berry Berry back. A dirt bike. Oh, well, like 50? 60? You saw Kyrie Irving? That is a good Christmas present. Miles? The best sequel? What is the game? Splunking? Oh, okay. Lydia? Disney passes? Grady? You got an avocado? Like, just an avocado? Have you ever seen the song Avocado? Peel the avocado. Guac, I'm rolling. What is the best gift that you've ever given? The best gift you've ever given? All right, Colin again. You got your dad a wallet? Was it like a special wallet or was it like a regular wallet? He uses it? Okay, so very, very practical. Very practical. Either or. A what? An axolotl? What? A wada wada wada? Huh? Huh? Oh, it lights? Okay, it's like a light. Got you. Bella? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. You gave your brother $3? Three whole big ones? Nice. Ava? I did not know that fruit and vegetables were something to give on them. What is an avocado? What is it? A vegetable? A fruit? It's a fruit? Okay, guys, it's okay. It's okay. Jackson? Huh? Oh, that's what makes it a... Okay. All right, give me one more best gift you've given. Somebody new. Oh, Amber, what you got? A shadow box? What is that? Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yes, that's awesome. That's awesome. I forgot your name behind Amber. Preston, what did you get or give? You gave him 1 cent? I said best gifts, not worst gifts, guys. Okay, cool. My best gift that I ever gave was I got my brothers like in high school sports, you have like a warm-up shirt and warm-up jersey, and I got his from the high school. So I made him cry, and I was very proud of that. It's one of the only times I've seen him cry. So, well, hey, gifts giving, gifts getting. Man, there was an experiment done that I think is really, really interesting. It was a $5 experiment, and the way it worked is they chose some random people, and they gave them $5, and they said, hey, you have one stipulation. I'm going to give you $5 every single day, but the thing is, you have to spend the whole $5 every day, and you have to spend it on the same thing every day for the rest of this week. And so they did this, and you got to choose what you gave. Used the $5 for. Some people use the $5 on themselves, and some people use the $5 on somebody else. So some came and bought themselves a coffee, and then some would go and pay for the person behind them, buy their coffee, right? Things like that. And what actually happened, what they saw when they kind of took these tests and did the psychology behind it, is they determined that actually you get more joy and more consistent joy and a greater joy giving a gift than getting a gift yourself. For some of you, you're like, well, they asked the wrong person, because I would have 100% said getting's better. But what the truth is what you experience, the joy that you get, the satisfaction you get of giving somebody a gift versus getting a gift is usually greater than the other. I know that is true of me. Would anybody else say I'm more of a gift giver than a gift getter? Okay, so some of you in the room, I'm assuming if you're not raising your hand, you're like, I'm going to be honest, I like getting gifts. And I understand that too. But, man, we know that at the end of the day, Christmas is about Jesus, right? Like Christmas, the whole holiday is actually rooted and centered around the birth of Jesus. And what we really see with this is that without Jesus, there would be no Christmas. And Jesus truly is a gift. Jesus is a gift. He's a gift that we receive. Somebody said it at the beginning, I think it was Malachi, when I said, what's the greatest gift you got? And he said, eternal life. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But no Jesus, no Christmas. What we get through Christmas, and really what Christmas solidifies and signifies, is our getting the gift of Jesus. So what makes a gift? What is a gift? When I think about a gift, I really think about kind of the statement, a reward without earning or without deserving. Like, to get a gift, it's to say, man, I'm given something, or I'm giving somebody something that they didn't really earn or deserve. Like, they didn't pay for it. They didn't work for it. They didn't do anything for it. It's a gift. It's something that I just want to give them because I want to give it to them. Or it's something I want to give to them because they mean something to me. And so that's what we get to see with Jesus, is that Jesus is a gift. And more so, not just Jesus in himself, but it's the gift that we get with Jesus, which is, Malachi, eternal salvation, eternal life. And what eternal life is, if you don't, I know that can sometimes just be like this lingo that we hear or say, like, man, I have eternal life, or eternal life this, eternal life that, or heaven, whatever it is. What it is the idea that there's a reality that after this life, for forever, if we believe in Jesus, we get a life without pain, without shame, but a life of bliss and joy, and truly a life that we were always meant to live. A life back in what I call right relationship with God. It means that we are in the relationship with God that we were always meant to be. And that is the gift that Jesus gives us. That is the gift that truly, at the core of what Christmas is, that's what we celebrate. Is eternal life that we get with Jesus, with God. Now, the question is, who believes that in here? Who believes that? And then, man, if you are a part of the party that says, man, I do believe that. I believe that believing in Jesus and following him grants me eternal life, meaning that no matter what I do, no matter what I've done, my life, my eternity is sealed in Jesus. I get to live a life without pain. I get to live a life without shame. I get to live a life full of joy and gratitude towards God forever, never ending. The second question to that is, man, if we believe that, if you're a person that raises your hand and says, man, I believe what that is, I believe that that is true, why won't we share it? Like, if you're saying, man, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, I believe what he offers me is eternal life. Why do we keep it to ourselves? Why do we hold it? Why are we not the people that are telling everybody we see and come in contact about it? I'm going to tell you why, and it's going to be hard to hear. And it's this. We don't take our faith serious. We just don't take our faith serious. We believe in this, or we say that we believe that eternal life is the reward, and that the punishment is eternal life without Jesus, which is with no joy, with no bliss, but with all pain and with all shame. That's the punishment for not believing Jesus. Yet, we live our lives saying, it's not worth losing a friend over. It's not worth interacting with somebody in an awkward way. It's not worth them disagreeing. It's not worth telling somebody, maybe the life you're living isn't the best life. And sometimes we even do that to ourselves. It's not worth telling us, you should say no to that. It's not worth telling us, I should actually live a life that glorifies God. When I was thinking about this idea of truly us not taking our faith serious, I thought about just some statistics that kind of sadly prove this exact thing. And so I wanted to read some to you. Some of them are pretty shocking and pretty sad. The first is that 70 to 90% of people leave the faith after high school. So once you leave high school and go into college, 70 to 90% leave their faith behind and just pursue other things. It says this, that less than half of Gen Z, which is most of you, or if you're Gen Alpha, you'd probably be around the same as the statistic, say that their faith is important at all. So less than half would even say, man, even if I am a Christian, or even if I do have a faith, it's not that important to me. The thing that we say should be the most important to us, many say it's really not important at all. Actually, only 17% would say that faith is the most important thing to them. 17% of Gen Z would say that their faith is the most important thing. I thought this one was pretty shocking. More Gen Z Christians read their Bible 0 to 2 times a year than once a month. So that means there's a greater percentage of people in the Gen Z that would say, I don't read my Bible more than twice a year than a Christian or a person who's in Gen Z that would say, I at least read it once a month. And I think all of these kind of point to this, which is that only 10% of churchgoers would say that they share their faith once a month. So we all kind of sit in this very, very, very convicting bucket where we have to sit and say, man, is my faith serious to me? Do I believe what I really say I believe? Because if so, why am I not sharing the gospel? If the reward is what I believe it is, and the punishment is what I believe it is, why am I not sharing the gospel? I think we can look at somebody to kind of see as an exemplar as far as sharing the gospel, even in the Christmas story. So we're going to be in Luke 3. And while you turn there, if you have your Bibles, if not, we gave you one. Luke 3. Basically, what Luke is a part of the four Gospels. The Gospels are the story of Jesus's life, his death, and his resurrection. And in the very beginning of Luke, we learn about a man named John the Baptist. John was basically a prophet sent right before Jesus was born to what is said to prepare the way, to kind of get people ready for who Jesus was and to tell about him before he came, literally like months before he came. And as we pick up, we're going to jump around a little bit in chapter 3 of Luke. That is who we're talking about. We're talking about this man, John the Baptist. I'm going to read some for you and then we're going to kind of talk about it. It says this in verse 2. It says, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, and he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now jumping down to verse 15, it continues, and it says this, as people were in expectation, all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ. Basically, they're saying, man, is he the Messiah? Is he the one that we've been waiting for all this time? Is he going to save us? But it says, John answered them, all of them, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with an unquenchable fire. And he ends by saying, or says right here, so with many other exhortations, he preached the good news to the people. So what we see about John is John is called by God. And he said he was set in this place in this time to prepare the way for Jesus. And then when he gets there, people start talking about John and they kind of ask him, is he the one that we've been waiting for? He speaks in a way and he's doing things that make us think that he might be the Messiah we've been waiting on. And instantly, he puts to bed those claims and says, the person that's coming, I'm not even worthy to untie their shoe. That is how much greater and mightier Jesus will be. And he starts to talk about what Jesus will do. It says he's going to baptize people in the Holy Spirit and fire. Man, I'm just going to make a quick statement about that. Really what he's saying is, man, all I can do, I can dunk you underwater. He can save your soul. I can do for you, kind of show you a sign of what you need to be doing, of repenting and believing in him. He's the one that will save you. And then it says this, it says, during this time, as people were coming and expecting to hear from him, he continued to preach the good news to them. Continued to preach to them the good news about Jesus. Listen, here's what we see in John. We see A, that he believed who Jesus was. He believed in Jesus. He believed Jesus truly was the Messiah. Then he proclaimed Jesus. He was not quiet about it. He did not hold the secret to himself, but he told everybody that he could come in contact with. With those two things tied together, what we see is John took his faith seriously. He realized that his faith was the most important thing to him. He realized that if it is true that I need a savior and this man has come to save me, I don't want to hold that to myself. But I want to tell everybody I know about it. I want to tell even the people that I don't know about it. And I think John's a great picture for us about who do we need to be as Christians. Man, I have three action steps for us as we walk out of here tonight. And I believe that every single person in this room needs to take at least one of these action steps, if not multiple. We at least need to take one, if not multiple, maybe even all three of these action steps. The first action step that I need you to understand and we need to take with us is this. We need to believe in Jesus. And that's where it starts. Nothing else in our faith can take place if we don't believe in Jesus. If we don't believe Jesus really is who he said he was, the Son of God. And what it looks like to believe in Jesus is John 3:16, one of the most known verses. It says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This is what it means to believe in Jesus, to believe that God loves you so much that Jesus came and lived the life that we were supposed to but couldn't, died the death that we deserve and took on our judgment, and all we must do is believe that he truly is who he said he is, the Son of God, and we shall not perish. We shall not get the punishment that we deserve. Rather, he will take that on himself and we will get eternal life with him forever. Believe in Jesus. The next thing is, man, if we take that step, some of you need to focus here. Maybe even stop here and go, do I believe in Jesus? And if not, man, I'd love to talk to you about that. We have so many leaders that would love to talk to you about what it looks like to believe in Jesus and walk you through that. But maybe you're saying, Nate, I've already taken that step. I believe in Jesus. Awesome. Keep going with me. The next step is to obey Jesus. In other words, follow Jesus. To obey Jesus or to follow Jesus. Listen to me. Sometimes we can look at this idea of following Jesus and we can go, man, that just doesn't look appealing. Or that doesn't seem to be the life that I want to live. Nate, to follow Jesus, I've got to give up all this other stuff. Nate, to follow Jesus, I've got to give up the things that are important to me. To follow Jesus, I actually have to get new friends. To follow Jesus, I have to give up these passions that I've had or these things that I know aren't good for me, but man, they're so fun. Let me tell you, to follow Jesus, to obey Jesus, it is to get back to the life that you were meant to live. Guys, we were meant to follow him. To follow him is to get back into the way things were always supposed to be. C.S. Lewis is one of my favorite writers, and he writes a bunch of books, and he is kind of he's a phenomenal person just to kind of look into, because he was a very late convert in his life, and he's a very logical thinker, and so his way of coming to Jesus was very much like logically looking through the lens of the world and seeing why are things so messed up, and realizing it all points back to we were supposed to be, we aren't who we were supposed to be, and we need to be following Jesus. It's an incredible thing. But he wrote this one thing in one of his books. And he said this statement. He says, at the end of the day, there are those who will look at God and say, thy will be done. Meaning, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to obey you. And at the same time, there are those in the end that God will look at them and say, thy will be done. This is to say, at the end of the day, we're all going to obey Jesus. We're all going to end up at the end of our lives looking at God saying, I gotta do what you're gonna tell me to do. Man, what we want for you is for you to be able to look at God and say, I've been following you. Not for him to look at you and say, you didn't follow me there and you're not gonna follow me now. Follow Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, I promise the next step will come. If you believe in Jesus, you will follow him. It's the only response to believing in him. Some of you need to be there. Some of you are looking saying, Nate, I know I believe in him, but I just haven't been following what he has called me to do. I've not been doing or living the life that he has called me to, telling me to live or showing me how to live. Man, if that's you, again, I'd love to talk to you about some even more defined steps to help you in that walk. But I'm telling you, that's where you need to be. Following Jesus. So you need to believe in him and you need to follow him. What's next? You need to tell everybody about Jesus. You need to tell everybody about Jesus. There's a story of these two magicians that I used to follow, and it actually made its rounds a few years ago. Their names are Penn and Teller. They may be a little too old school for you guys to know them. But they put on this magic act, and Penn, which is I'm assuming just his stage name. He actually is a very known atheist, which means he doesn't believe in God. And so he took a video and he was just kind of explaining that at a show, he interacted with a Christian. And this Christian came to him after the show and handed him a Bible, handed him a little Holman's Bible. And he was like, it was one of those things where it sparked a conversation. And Penn at the end of the day said, I don't believe in Jesus, but what I realized and what I know is, man, for somebody to believe that there is an eternal life and it's only through Jesus, how much would they have to hate me to not tell me about it? How much would they have to despise me or not care for me for them to know this truth and believe it wholeheartedly, but for them to keep it to themselves? Man, that's what I lay before you right now. Man, how can we walk around saying, man, I have the cure, I have the means to eternal life, but I just want to keep it to myself? If the truth is, man, I'm not looking at you saying you must hate your neighbor, you must hate your friends, you must hate your classmates, you must hate all these people. But what I am saying is, man, for many of us, the next step is getting over that awkwardness and that fear and anxiousness and talking to people about Jesus. Many of us kind of walk through life and it's not that we don't want to tell people about Jesus, it's we're scared of how they're going to react. We're scared of how they're what they're going to say back. We're scared of how we might be judged because we are sharing Jesus. Or even maybe it's I just don't really know. I don't feel like I know enough. I don't feel like I'm equipped enough to share Jesus. Then hear me. If you believe in him, if you follow him, we have to share him. I'm telling you, some of the easiest ways to do that, that conversation can be as easy as just telling them, listen, we messed up. We are fallen. We were created perfect, but we're fallen and we need saving. And that saving only comes through Jesus. Hey, we're gonna sing a song as we get ready. And it is a Christmas song. I love me some Christmas music. I want us to not forget in this season of all these gifts that we're going to be getting, gifts that we're going to be giving, that truly the greatest gift of all and the most important gift that we have is Jesus. Man, the first thing we need to do with that is we need to believe in it ourselves. But man, if you are in here saying, I believe in Jesus, let me tell you, your next move is to make sure everybody else knows about this Jesus that we find so much hope and so much joy in. Okay? Cool. All right. Hey, let me pray for us.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great week and that you are a light for Jesus. Grace and peace.